regardless of how this ultimately turns out for the Rays, Dave, I've got to think the players have to, there has to be a real sense of confidence to this team going into the offseason.
Well, I think it all depends on how we finish September. I mean, you know, I know how I equate this to my golf game. I can hit the ball horribly for about 15, 16 holes, and then if I play well on 17 and 18, I can't wait to get back out again. And I think that right now, you know, we had a terrible start to the season. We came in with very, very high expectations. I mean, a lot of pundits, and rightly so, were picking us to win the division and get back to the postseason for the fifth time in 7 years. And we just got off to a horrible start. Bounce back, as you said, by getting back to 500, one of only four teams that have ever been 18 games back or more to get back to 500. But if we weren't to make the playoffs and if we weren't to finish at 500, I don't know how we walk out of here feeling good about the season. So September is going to be pretty important for this ball club, and I think very important for two guys, especially individually. I think Will Myers needs to build upon what has been a lost season for him. He's the American League reigning rookie of the year, and he's just had a not-so-good season. It's been filled with not enough hits and too many injuries, and now hopefully after a three-hit game yesterday for the first time in a long time, he can have a nice finish to the season. And then a guy that we were really counting on to close out a lot of games for us, Grant Belfour, has had now three really, really good outings in a row, but we need about 10 or 12 or 15 good outings in a row for him to feel good about himself going into next year too.
Dave Wills joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. The Rays walked it off yesterday against against Boston, a 4-3 win. Drew Smyly didn't get the decision, but he had just allowed a couple of runs over 5 2/3 innings. And I mean, I've got to tell you, Dave, I've seen him pitch a couple of times since that trade. And if I'm a team in the American League East, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, his numbers against the American League East are outrageous to begin with. But I've watched him pitch a couple of times, and he looks like a guy who's going to be a real handful next year for opposing teams. That may be, you know, considering what you had to give up, that may be one of those deals that 2 or 3 years down the road, we're looking back on and going, man, the Rays really did well on that.
Well, you know, we'll see. I mean, obviously right now the initial returns are pretty good as well. I mean, he's been very, very good. His first six starts now for the Rays, his ERA, I think, is under 2.
Wow.
And that's the best start for a Rays pitcher, even better than what David Price did when he first came up. So he has been very, very impressive. You know, I talked to a couple people from Detroit that I know very, very well. They seem to think that, you know, he could be a really, really good number 3 pitcher on a championship team. I brought that up to Joe Maddon, and then I know that Joe's a very, very optimistic guy, but he's also a realist. And especially when you see some of the pitchers that have come through the pipeline of Tampa Bay here for the last 7 or 8 years, and he feels that the ceiling is even higher. And he kind of compared him a little bit to Cliff Lee. He said, you know, both 6 foot, both about the same size, both have that over-the-top kind of pitch, and, you know, 91, 92 with a nice breaking ball. And he's also been incorporating a changeup and a cutter. So, you know, Drew, I think that the ceiling is very high for Drew. I think he's taken some of the intel that the Rays have passed along to him since coming over from the Tigers and used it extremely well. And yesterday he was a little spotty with his fastball command. You know, he was, in his first 5 starts, he was really, really good at getting ahead and staying ahead. Yesterday he would get ahead, but then he wasn't able to stay ahead. And that's why he was out after, I think it was 5 2/3 innings. But overall, again, I am extremely pleased with what he has brought to the table. And when you start to think about next year and the possibility that Matt Moore is going to be back, maybe not necessarily right at the beginning of the year, but maybe a month or two into it, and then you wonder, all right, well, are we going to see Chris Archer take the next step? Is Jeremy Hellickson going to still be here? Is Chris Archer going to be a year better? Alex Cobb could be an ace. So, you know, I heard what you were saying leading into the interview. I think there's going to be a couple different disappointed teams this year that knew there was an opening to win this division. I think the Blue Jays are one of them for sure. But I also think that, you know, if the Rays, even if in that 14, that we lost 14 to 15 stretch, if we would have played 500 during that stretch, nothing more, nothing less, we'd be right in the midst of things for the postseason. So I think the Rays will be just as disappointed. But you're right. I thought the Blue Jays had their window of opportunity this year, and they just didn't take advantage of it.
Dave, when Drew Smyly was in Toronto, he made a comment after a start that I found really interesting. And you just referred to that. You talked about the intelligence, the data that the Rays give their pitchers. He made the point that he approached, since he joined the Rays, he felt as if he was approaching each opponent with more information than he had when he was in Detroit. And yeah, I don't think he was saying it. I don't think he was saying it to necessarily be critical of the Tigers, but he was drawing a comparison with between how the two organizations approach things. And I know from a conversation I had with John Gibbons this spring, he was making the point about, he said, when we face Tampa in spring training, it's almost as if they have a plan for us in spring training. And he talked about how it didn't matter which pitcher the Rays ran out against the Blue Jays in spring training, you're going to see a lot of off-speed stuff. It was going to be off the plate. He said it's almost as if they were pitching to a plan in the Grapefruit League season. What is it about Jim Hickey and Joe Maddon and the way the Rays prepare pitchers for each day's opponent?
Well, you know, we have a pretty extensive baseball staff. I mean, I make fun of it every once in a while that I think we got more people working in the baseball operations department than we do in the rest of our front office. So we've got a lot of guys that sit in mom and dad's basement, I think, in different parts of the country and examine all kinds of numbers and algorithms and everything else like that. But, you know, then when they put it all together, it has to go to a couple guys, and one of those guys is Jim Hickey, who, you know, again, I think can decipher a scouting report and handle the pitchers as well as anybody in baseball. And another guy that's really good at it too is Stan Borowski. I think there's analysis by paralysis, Jeff. I think I think sometimes you give guys too much information, but I think what Jim does, he takes everything that he thinks that a pitcher should need, and then he condenses it down along with Stan Borowski, who's our bullpen coach, and they really put it into a nice little easy to read file for these guys. And I think the other part of it too is our catchers. I think you know, obviously Jose Molina's been around for a long time, but Ryan Hannigan is very astute in following a game plan, and I think our young pitcher, catcher Kurt Casale, was also very, very good at it. So, you know, I think we do have maybe as much intel as anybody in baseball. Maybe the Yankees and or Red Sox might have a little thicker department than we do, but I really don't think we leave any T uncrossed and I undotted, because you know, we do make sure that these guys know the best way to get guys out. And I think that's one of the reasons why you've seen offense kind of take a little bit of a hit, because all this intel that is passed along for the game of baseball is at the expense of the offense. Really, you know, again, I think it's just the opposite. I think the more information you get when you're standing in the batter's box, the less you're going to be successful. Because if you're thinking about this guy possibly throwing me a curveball 39% of the time with an 0-1 count, but then on 48% of the time, he's going to go fastball up and in, your head's going to be spinning. So I think all this intel really helps pitchers, and it's a credit to Drew Smyly. He takes what these guys are given, and he's utilizing it to the best of his ability. There's other pitchers that have been through the Rays system, Jeff, that have had that same information but feel like they know more than what we're giving them. So it's kudos to Jeff, or it's kudos, I should say, to Drew. It's kudos to our catching that does a nice job of following the game plan too. But, these guys, really, we are built around pitching. We are not going to be able to go out and find – it's going to be awful tough for us to go out and find two or three guys who can hit 30, 35 home runs in our lineup, which is what we've been missing for the past few years. So we've got to figure out ways that run prevention, and I think we do that as well as anybody.
As far as the Rays minor league system goes, how much depth is there still down there? Because we're so used to this organization just having that assembly line of starting pitchers. Is there kind of a gen next, if you want to call it that, of Rays pitchers?
Well, I think the guys that we're looking at right now, and who knows if we're going to see a couple of them, but there's at least three or four guys at AAA Durham that we were expecting to see maybe a little more of this year, that they really didn't take that next step like we had hoped. And one of them was Alex Colome. He got busted for PED during the off season, so he missed the early part of the year and has had kind of a so-so season, some ups, but also some downs. But he's a mid-90s thrower with a good breaking pitch, and we'll see where his next step is, but I think we were expecting a little bit more out of him this year. We also picked up Nate Cairns in a trade with the Nationals during the offseason. We thought that we'd get a peek at him, and he too had an up-and-down season. Eni Romero is a left-hander who throws in the mid-upper 90s that, you know, who knows, if this whole starting gig doesn't work, maybe he'd be a guy that we can bring out of the bullpen to give us some velocity at the big league level. And then we also had a kid, I think his name is Mike Montgomery, that also came over in that Will Myers, Jake Odorizzi trade. So, Those are four guys that I know we've been keeping a very, very close eye on. We've had some, relievers. Obviously, Brad Boxberger was a guy that came up this year that has done some outstanding work. And then I was talking with our pitching coordinator, who said that the next wave is probably not at Double A or High A, but it's probably at was at short season A this year, and probably 3 or 4 years away. So I think that's how we try to kind of, make the plans. I mean, be able to do just that, where you would have, a group every probably 3 or 4 years that would be able to supplement and refill some of the holes when you lose a James Shields, when you lose a David Price, when you have to trade a Matt Garza. So, that's probably our plan, because we feel like we can draft and develop pitching and try to find the right pieces offensively to help us get to the postseason.
Yeah, you want to have that pitching assembly line working, as Alex Anthopoulos calls it. And that's what the Jays are trying to work towards as well, having that 2 or 3 year, just the constant readiness, I guess, of pitching talent. And that's, what everybody in baseball is aiming for, Dave.
Yeah, well, we had to supplement it a little bit here over the last two or three years, because we had all of them at the big league level. We had Hellickson, we had Cobb, we had, Matt Moore, and then even Chris Archer getting ready to come up. But, Chris Archer came over in a trade. Jake Odorizzi, who I forgot to mention as our staff right now, who probably could be our rookie of the year, leading all rookies in strikeouts. Jake was a guy that we got in that Will Myers, James Shields trade as well. So we've had to supplement a few of those guys through trades. But, you're right. That's what you like to do. About every 2 or 3 years, make sure you have a couple of magical arms that can come up and keep your pitching staff rather thick.